Welcome to all those joining us for the Shir in the Sefer Hiskashrus Letzadik Oemes, binding oneself, attaching oneself to the true Tzadik. We mentioned that this Sefer was compiled by Reb Shmuel Horowitz, Zichron Levracha, one of the giants in Breslov, in Eretz Yisrael, in the previous generation. And we've had a number of Shirim on this topic, and now today's Shir will close this topic for now. We started speaking about this in the previous year, but now to go into it a little bit more clearly, he's speaking about the concept of a person who believes that they found their rabbi, they found their true path, they found the tzaddik emes, and they have the opportunity to learn from that tzaddik. And he says, that being the case, then for that person, it would be considered a pigam, it would be considered a bad thing for that person to go to another rabbi also. We're not talking about going to another rabbi to hear a Dvar Torah. We're talking about to go another rabbi in terms of looking up to that rabbi as one who will give him direction, as one whom he's accepting as his rabbi. Exactly. Because he says that nowadays, we know Rabbeinu Zal writes, all the Sforim write, we're in a state of Hastara Shebetoich Hastara. Hastara means hidden. Hashem is hidden, and the fact that Hashem is hidden, meaning there's a double level of hiddenness where the holiness, the real holiness and the real goodness is very hidden. And therefore, it's very easy for a person to be fooled, to think, oh, this person must be a very great rabbi. Look at his face. Look at how his face is glowing and shining. Look at the beautiful bekesha he's wearing. Or look at all of these students here. Look at how many students he has. And he says that we don't necessarily know today. We can't necessarily judge by those kind of things who's a real tzaddik and who isn't. And he says, even though there are many good people in Klal Yisrael, there are many religious people, there are many good people, but the term tzaddik is something completely, that's a completely different level. And especially one who's qualified to lead people, to guide people in terms of exactly how they should lead their lives, a direction, a general direction in life, and giving each person guidance as to exactly what their path in life should be, that's something that in order to be on the level to do that, a person needs to know where their soul comes from, where that person's soul comes from, and the things that are wrong with the person's soul and exactly how to rectify it. So it's not something that every single rabbi or leader is capable of doing. And therefore, he adds, the truth is, we believe that every person has good in them, and even the worst of the worst person, we always try to see the good in them. But in terms of coming close to somebody, making that person my mentor, my guide, and to declare them as my rabbi. And he says, even to go to the custom among Hasidim about going to a tish and to hear new ideas in Torah that a person is putting forth, he says, if a person believes that they are connected to a true tzaddik, a person who's, let's say, as an example, a Breslover who's learning the Breslov Sforim, who has accepted this path, he writes, for such a person to do that, it decreases, it could take away from that person's emuna and attachment to their own rabbi. And he says, at the same time, it's not my job to fix the whole world or to try to convince somebody else and really apply pressure and try to convince somebody to come to my to stay away from those rabbis and to come to rabbi, because so long as that person can't tell the difference on their own, so long as that person doesn't know that there is a difference, very often anything you're going to say to the person is not necessarily going to convince them at all, but rather sometimes it could cause the opposite reaction, that the person will start speaking against your rabbi if they feel that you're trying to pressure them, you're trying to convince them that your rabbi is the only one, that kind of thing. And then even any benefits that that person might have had from being able looking into the Sfarim and learning from them, we could lose out on that also. So a person certainly should not do that. And he said, therefore, until a person really feels confident with the rabbi that they're close to, that they found the right rabbi, the rabbi that can really help them and really bring them to their tikkun, the person has to try to come close to any good rabbi that they hope will be able to bring them close to Hashem. We know that Rav Nosson Zal, in his Sefer Likutei Halachos, and also Rav Nachman Shirin in his Sefer Nachas HaShulchan, present this in an incredible, interesting way. There's a law in Shulchan Aruch, in Hebrew law, that if a person, chas v'shalom, gets lost in a wilderness, and they lose track of time, they don't know which day is Shabbos. What do you do? And the answer is, the Gemara tells us, that they should pick any day, pick a day, and observe that day as Shabbos in all of its rules. All the rules of Shabbos, including not traveling at all on that day. Whereas the other days that they haven't chosen to be their Shabbos, they're permitted to travel to try to get out of the wilderness, to try to get to civilization. Once they get out of this wilderness and they get to civilization, and they realize that the day that they picked as Shabbos wasn't Shabbos, it was Wednesday, it was Monday, what do? The answer is, they simply switch to the actual Shabbos day and keep it, and they're not considered having made any crime, anything terrible wrong. They did what they could under the circumstances. Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal write many times, the tzaddik is referred to as Shabbos. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to their rabbi Rabbi Shimon, Antu Shabbos dekula yoimi. To us, you are the Shabbos, and we are like the 6 days of the week. Just like the Torah teaches us that all 6 days of the week receive their blessing, their nourishment, their good from Shabbos. All the bracha comes from Shabbos. We receive our spiritual energy and life from you. So the tzaddik is known to be the Shabbos. When a person is in the wilderness, when a person is lost, and they don't know who is the Shabbos, who is the real tzaddik, what should they do? Should they say then, I'm better off not having any rabbi? The answer is not necessarily. If they could find somebody that's much more learned than them, a better person than them, both in midos and in knowledge and everything, they're allowed to and should try to come close to such a person and draw all the benefits that they can from learning from such a person, from being close to such a person. If at some point later on they come to a realization that there's better than that, there's much better than that, they're allowed to, 100% allowed to, move on and go to a new rabbi who they believe is more qualified to teach them, to bring them close to Hashem. And I've seen this in my own life. I've seen incredible, interesting cases. I'll mention a name, hopefully in the right context, in the right way, that no one will get the wrong impression from this. Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach, who was a major figure in the Jewish nation for 40, 50 years, approximately, I'd say, from when he started his career in singing and reaching out to people, all kinds of different people, and was able to affect a lot of people. And in many ways, he was a very controversial figure. There were many great rabbis who took issue with his methods, with things that he did, and there were many rabbis that spoke out against him and would advise people to stay far away from him for different reasons. And yet, I personally know quite a number of people who started out their path in Yiddishkeit, their connection to any Judaism, any observance at all was with him, and they stayed with him for a period of time, and then they moved on, and they advanced further and further. Today, some of their children and grandchildren are rabbis, major, serious rabbis in Yerushalayim, in Mea Sharim, in the most strict neighborhoods, where some of their children or grandchildren don't speak any English. They speak only Yiddish, and they are actually rabbis, dayanim, major high-level rabbis in Torah. And the parents or the grandparents started their path in this way. They started their path through this person. This person was their original bridge, their original connection to Torah, to Hashem, to observance. And then when they realized that there's a higher level, there's more than that, they advanced and went further. The same thing in the city of New York, I remember. There was a shul, a modern Orthodox shul, Lincoln Square Synagogue, I remember, was one of the examples that was referred to. And this shul, again, many, there are people who would say a religious Jew shouldn't walk into such a place, you know. And one of the things they did there was they had a beginner's minyan. Beginner's minyan for people who don't know anything about tefillah, they can't read Hebrew or whatever. On Shabbos morning, they would have a minyan that would start 9:30 in the morning. 9:30 is after Zman Kriya Shema in very often. And this minyan was led by a rabbi who taught them only to pray two or three paragraphs of the tefillah. What do you mean? That's a joke. That's making fun of the tefillah. He understood that these people, there's no way in the world that they could start right away, you know, giving them the whole siddur and having them join up. And in this manner, again, I myself knew families that went from there, that started off, actually, even prior to that, they started off in conservative. And they saw that they felt that that wasn't really authentic Judaism, and went from there to Lincoln Square, and from there moved on, and became 100% Orthodox from people, sending their children to Orthodox yeshivas, etc., etc. Now, there's an aspect to this that a person has to be very careful. There's a story, a famous story, that I heard from my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, that there was a student who on every Friday, Erev Shabbos, he would bring a gift to his Rebbe, a gift of fruit, vegetables, you know, nice things, lekavod Shabbos, as a means of showing respect, love, appreciation to his Rebbe, to the rabbi. And also the Gemara tells us that during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, one of the most important korbanos that was brought on the holiday of Shavuos was Bikurim. Bikurim is an offering that's brought to the Beis Hamikdash of your first produce, that we bring this to Hashem, we bring this to the Beis Hamikdash, and it's given to the Kohanim, and there's a special, special ceremony, special tefillos that are said over this. It's considered very important. There's a medrash that says, Bereshis, Boro Lekimus Hashemayim V'Soretz, Bereshis, because of Reshis, Hashem created heaven and earth. What is Reshis? Bikurim. Because of the mitzvah of Bikurim, Hashem created heaven and earth. That's how special this mitzvah is. And it's brought that nowadays we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, we don't have Bikurim. If a person wants to get credit for the mitzvah of Bikurim, a person who brings a food gift to their rabbi, it's considered as if they brought Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. So this student did this regularly every Friday, and he felt great about it. And then one Friday he came to his rabbi's house. He might have come at a different time, could be he couldn't come at the usual time, and he came and the rabbi wasn't there. He was curious a little. He asked the Rebbetzin, where is the rabbi? She said he went to see his Rebbe. And the student heard this. He went to see his Rebbe. Wow. Now I got a great idea. If bringing the fruit to him is a mitzvah, imagine what kind of mitzvah I'll get if I bring the fruit to his Rebbe. And he found out who his rabbi's rabbi was. And he stopped bringing the gift to his own rabbi and started bringing it to his rabbi's rabbi. Shortly afterwards, he started seeing a major decrease in his parnasa, in his livelihood, started losing money, and in an extraordinary way, where it was clear to him that Hashem was trying to tell him something. And this went on for a period of time until he decided he has to find out what this is all about. So he went back to his Rebbe, and he said to him, Rebbe, please, I need to ask you a question. You remember I used to bring every Friday, I used to bring offering of food to you, etc. And I was so proud, I felt so lucky, so privileged to be able to do it. And one time I came and you weren't here and your Rebbetzin told me you went to your rabbi. So I thought, wow, imagine how happy Hashem will be. Imagine how good it'll be if I start bringing to your rabbi. And I started doing that and I saw an immediate decline in my parnasa, in my success. What's going on? So his Rebbe smiled and said, I'll explain it to you. In the beginning, when you first brought the gift to me and you did it as a show of appreciation and respect for everything you were getting from me, so you were acting in a simple way, so Hashem acted simple with you too. Hashem didn't go put you under the microscope to examine everything. Hashem, on a certain basic level, saw that you're basically good, so Hashem blessed you. When you made a decision to decide that you know now that he's a bigger rabbi, and if I give to the bigger rabbi, then I'll get more, it'll be even better. So Hashem said, he's starting to be a chacham. Let's see what a chacham he is. and they started scrutinizing your record much more carefully. And unfortunately, because of that, your parnasa went down. So a person needs to know there's a time and there's a correct way. When a person is looking to advance in their Yiddishkeit, and they see that they're with a certain rabbi in a certain place, where that rabbi can take them to a certain level only, and they see that there's another rabbi that can take them to a much higher level of closeness to Hashem, of knowledge of Torah, of observance of Torah, and all of this, the person is allowed to make a decision to move on. They still feel appreciation and gratitude for the one who started them. Very, very important. But a Jew is not supposed to stagnate. A Jew is not supposed to stay in one place. A Jew is required to advance. Rabbeinu Zal begins one of the chapters on the Likutei Moran, chapter 20, by saying, a person who wants to be a Jew, which means climbing from level to level, advancing all the time. So we see this is something that Hashem wants and expects from us. He expects us to grow and advance. But again, here we have the warning from Reb Shmuel Horowitz that once a person comes to a place where he really believes and sees that this tzaddik has everything I need, everything that I could possibly need to improve anything in me that needs improvement and to take me to the most incredible high levels, then to start going to other rabbis and could be considered a chisor and could be considered taking away, diminishing from the respect and the connection to their own rabbi. And this is another very important point. Sometimes a person has a crisis or something like that. The Gemara says, "Mi sheyesh lo chayla b'seich beisoy." If unfortunately in a family somebody is very ill, yelech etzel chacham yivakei sholav rachman. They should go to a chacham, to a wise person, to a Talmud chacham, a tzaddik, and ask that chacham or tzaddik to be mispalel on behalf of this person that's ill. Now remember, this isn't instead of the person davening. The person that's ill should be praying. The family should be praying. But they're looking for something very powerful. They're looking for an individual whose tefillah could be much more powerful than theirs, as we see throughout the Torah. We see the Jews turning to Moshe Rabbeinu and pleading with them, begging Moshe Rabbeinu to daven for them. We see Hashem tells Avimelech, go to Avram Avinu and ask him to daven for you. Hashem said, what do you mean? He's talking to Hashem. Hashem could say, daven to me. Hashem didn't say that. Hashem said to Avimelech, go to Avram Avinu. He's a Navi. Ask him to be mispalel for you, and you and your whole family will be healed. So we see the importance of going to a Talmud Chacham, going to a Tzaddik, and asking him to be mispalel. So there are people that say again, that's one Talmud Chacham. If I go to 2 or 3 or 15 Talmid Chachamim, then I'll have 15 times the power, right? And the answer is, there's a Gemara that says, K'deira deshutfi loy kariri v'loy chamimi. A pot that's being cooked, that needs to be cooked, and two different people are responsible for it, to watch it, that food will never be hot and never be cold. Why? Because when somebody knows that somebody else is responsible, many people say, he's probably looking at it. I don't have to worry about it. The other person's probably taking care of it. And the other one says, he's probably taking care of it, and no one takes care of it. When a tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham feels that a person is turning to them and saying, I need your help, I'm asking you to help, especially if the person brings a pidyon, they bring tzedakah, and they say, I'm giving this tzedakah to you, and I'm asking you to please be mispalel on behalf of a person, something like that. If the person they're giving it to is a really religious person, they're going to realize they have a responsibility, they have an obligation. That's not a joke. This person is turning to me, they have to write down that name. And in other words, here again, we find in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, abracadabra, the Jews should be healed. Have a nice day, Asher. He didn't do that. It says he was mispalel for 40 days. And it says he cried. And tefillah is something that requires serious, serious effort. So the person who's being asked to be mispalel knows that they have an obligation, a responsibility to take this serious, and not just once, not just pray once. So I remember seeing my rabbi, Reb Michal Zichron Levracha, When people came to him with this type of thing, he would write down the name. And every night at midnight, the most important time of the day, during those 2 hours of Chatzos Laila, he would go over that list of names. And he would prepare coins on his desk, and he would give a coin to tzedakah on behalf of each name that he had on that list. Because the Torah says your tefillah should be combined with tzedakah. He would give a coin on behalf of each name of the people who he's with. What do you mean? Not a $100 bill, a coin. What's a coin? A coin is nothing. But he had sometimes a list of 50 names or 100 names. It added up to 10, 20 shekel. He would take that money to shul with him, and that's the money he would distribute to charity to the people who came around collecting. And he once commented, what is it? It looks like nothing, but it's not nothing. We know the Torah says this is the way it's done. We know there's a story with Rabbi Nachman that towards the end of his life, when he was very ill, at one point he was in a room with people and his grandson was there, a little boy. And Rabbi Nachman said to his grandson, I'm very sick, please daven for me. So his grandson said, give me something. So Rabbi Nachman said, look at that. He's a tzaddik. He wants a pig. You know, he wants a pigeon. Rabbi Nachman took his watch and gave it to him. And the boy went into a corner. This little child went into a corner. And he said, Gott, mach de zeide soll sein gesind. Hashem, please make it that my grandfather should be healthy. He should be healed. He should be cured. And the people that were there were watching this. And they smiled like, oh, so cute. And Rabbi Nachman said, what cute? That's not cute. That's tefillah. That's the way it's supposed to be. Real, simple, pure. Simple, pure tefillah. That's the way it's supposed to be. So here again, the tzaddikim, those who are real tzaddikim, or those who are attached to real tzaddikim, they know what tefillah is, they know what tzedakah is, they know what timing is, they know there's a midnight, they know there's a kotel maravi, there are special holy places where the tefillah is more powerful. And when a person is zeichet to be attached to such a person, when such a person starts going around shtiebel hopping, jumping to another one, if the rabbi sees that, then he knows, then it's not on me. This person is not putting his confidence in me. He's hoping that each one of the rabbis will say a prayer. Okay, so I'll also say a prayer, but I don't have to kill myself. Whereas in another case, we know that tefillah is mesiras nefesh. That's how the Zohar HaKadosh defines it. Nafshi yotza bedabroi. That when a person is praying properly, they're spilling their guts. It's called hishtapchus hanefesh, outpouring of the soul. It's something that a person is taking very, very seriously. And he adds here that after the Baal Shem Tov, we see that his students, several of his students, became rebbes. They took over as rebbes. And he says they were definitely great tzaddikim, awesome tzaddikim, and they followed the path of their rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov, like we are supposed to. And each one of them had people that joined their community, their shul, that became their followers. However, it was all with the connection to the Baal Shem Tov. These students of the Baal Shem Tov never forgot who their rabbi was, and the people that came to them, it was always a matter of connecting them to their rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov. But he writes now, but now that Rabbi Nachman came to the world and he revealed his program to the world, his Sfarim, the Likutei Moran, the Sipurei Maisius, the Sefer Amidos, the Sfarim, and the Sfarim of Rav Nosson Zal, then for us, we know this is our path. This is our path, and we accept him as our tzaddik, and we believe that our tikkun is dependent on him, and that he has prepared the cures for all the different illnesses that our generations will experience until Moshiach comes. Until Moshiach comes. And with this, he pretty much closes the Sefer. He adds on one other item. There's one of the stories in Sipurei Maisius, the 13 stories that Rabbi Nachman told. The ninth story is called the Maisa Miravu Ben Yochid, the story about the rabbi who had an only child. It's one of the shorter stories in Sipurei Maisius, and it has a similar message to what we've been communicating throughout this entire series, where there Rabbi Nezal speaks about a person who was very religious, learning and davening, and yet they felt something's missing. Somehow it didn't feel right. It didn't feel like everything that the Torah describes, that a person who's learning Torah properly and serving Hashem properly should be on such an incredible level. And this young man saw that he wasn't on that level at all. So what's missing? And a beautiful story about searching for the tzaddik who's in a position to complete whatever is lacking in a Jew spiritually. Any person who's feeling anything that's not whole, not complete in their connection to Hashem, to the connection to the Torah, when that person finds the tzaddik is in a position to make them whole, to bring that person to their level of shleimus, completeness. We should be zeicher to draw all the lessons, all the positive things that we can from this sefer, from this short series that we spoke about this topic, and be zeicher to search for and find and recognize the true tzaddikim. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos writes an incredible, important message. A person would say, okay, then I'm done. I found my rabbi, I have it, good, now I can relax. He says, no. When a person finds that rabbi, that's when the search first begins to find the holiness in that rabbi, to search for the holiness, the goodness, the knowledge, the wisdom, everything that I need to learn from that rabbi. That's when the search really begins to be able to benefit, to get the true benefits. Because two people can be close to a very big tzaddik. One person is advancing incredibly, the other person not, because they don't realize that that's one of the main reasons I'm trying to be close to a tzaddik, to affect a change in me, to help me improve and grow and advance in my relationship with people, and especially in my relationship with Hashem. Any questions?
I have two questions. One is, so if someone believes with Nachman's tzaddik that he's going to follow, so a pidyon should be given to anyone who's a follower of Rav Nachman, would be as if they gave it to Rav Nachman, in a sense?
That term, anyone...
Well, nothing, but another...
A person who's
very mekusher to Rav Nachman.
That's the word. It's a person who's very attached.
Right.
In other words, a pidyon is not a simple thing. And if we're turning to somebody and asking that person to be mispalel, number one, any Jew that davens for another Jew, it's a good thing, it's a nice thing. But in terms of giving a pidyon to somebody, that's another level. That's a whole other level.
After Rav Nachman was nifter, Nosson had any other tzaddik that he followed, or you only followed?
Not at all.
So he didn't feel he needed a physical human living tzaddik.
Correct. And there are many people in Breslov who continue to feel that way, that the Rebbe, Rabbi Nazal himself, Rabbi Nachman himself, he is the rabbi until Moshiach comes. No need to designate a physically human rabbi as being my Rebbe. I can accept a person as being my madrich, my guide, my mashpia, but that title Rebbe, meaning that whatever he says, I accept with my eyes closed, I don't think at all, whatever, that kind of beetle that Rabbi Nachman speaks about to the tzaddik, to the tzaddik ador, to the tzaddik emes, that those people will say should not be done to anybody other than Rabbi Nachman himself. There are those in Breslov who believe that, again, Rabbi Nachman is the tzaddik until Moshiach comes. However, in addition, there is a living, leading tzaddik in every single generation who is the closest one to Rabbi Nachman and who's the one who's in the greatest position to be able to help the people living during his time, during his generation.
They feel the other sheet is wrong, or just this is better?
The answer is these are two paths. These are two paths within the Breslov community over the past hundreds of years.
The Rebbe said that we should learn all the Sfarim in the world. So by learning the Sefer of a different of the world. So the Rebbe says that the kings show up with.
Yes.
So how does it work together?
Question, Rabbi Nachman made a statement that he wanted his students, that just like wealthy people pride themselves that they've traveled here, they've traveled there, part of their pride is in being able to say, I was in a place that you weren't. I went to an island or a country or this, you know, that none of my friends was ever there yet, and I was there. That shows that I'm richer than them, I'm wealthier, I'm better off than them. Rabbi Nachman said a Jew, a religious Jew, should want to travel in all the holy books, all of the Sfarim of the Torah, which means the 24 books of Tanakh, Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, Rishonim, Achronim, Medrashim, Sifrei Chassidus, Sifrei Kabbalah. It means everything, everything. That's regarding Torah, regarding learning Torah. Now, regarding Sifrei Chassidus, let's say, here again, Rabbeinu Zal stressed certain Sfarim that he felt were very good, very important. The Reishis Chachma, the Tanya, he mentioned certain Sfarim that were good, that as quality. And we saw among the great Breslov leaders that they were knowledgeable in the other Sfarim, the Sfarim of the Mezritcha Magid and his Talmidim, the Kedushas Levi, in order to converse with people, members of other Hasidus. Very often, one of the things you need is a bridge. If you're knowledgeable in their Sfarim, you have a bridge. You can communicate. You can see the similarities sometimes between the Sfarim. It's a means of being close, being connected to the whole Jewish community.
Also in Kibbutz Tzaddikim, they said if you daven, let's say you go to Meron. So some people, if you do Meron or Meir, Arizal, is it a problem to daven?
Question regarding Kivrei Tzaddikim, going to the graves of Tzaddikim. There also, do we try to go to as many as we can, and or is it more a matter of sticking to one or limited, that kind of thing? And here I saw interesting things by my Rebbes. I know, for example, my Rebbe, Rabbi Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, when he came to Eretz Yisrael and he took his students to Kivrei Tzaddikim, he knew that there were limitations on time. There are some people that their thing is Kivrei Tzaddikim, and because of that, they miss out on other major aspects of Yiddishkeit. And he wanted to make it clear that this is an important thing, and he designated, in a two-week trip, he designated a day and a half for Kivrei Tzaddikim. One day was a trip up north to Tzfas, Meron, Tveria, which are the major places where the major Tzaddikim are known to be buried. Meron, you have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar. And there are other kvarim even in Meron. There's Hillel, Shammai. But in Meron, he pretty much went only to those two. In Tzfas, the Arizal, the cemetery where the Arizal is buried. And there's also the author of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karoy. There's Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoyer, one of the father-in-law of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There's Rabbi Shimon Zal, who was the first and one of the closest students of Rabbi Nachman. There were four or five places that he went to there. And in Tveria, there are a number of important places. There's Rabbi Meir Balanes, most people are aware of. There's Rabbi Akiva and his 24,000 students who are buried on a mountain, which was in those days especially nowhere near as popular and well-known. So we would go to Rabbi Meir Balanes, and once we found out where Rabbi Akiva was, we went there also to be by Rabbi Akiva. And then there's another place in Tveria where you have Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and his five students, who are mentioned in Pirkei Avos, the Pirkei Avos that we said yesterday on Shabbos, the second chapter. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, who the Arizal says was parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu. His students were the rabbis of the rabbis of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And they are in one large courtyard. You have Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and his five students. You have right there also Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, who are two of the major rabbis of the later next generation, Amoraim. And you have also the Rambam in a courtyard right next door, sort of. You have the Rambam. And also the Shiloh HaKadosh. And also, these are all in one large complex, sort of. Many people go, and they're going to the Rambam. And he would say they don't realize the Rambam was a holy person, but you have Tanoim here, the leading Tanoim of Shas, can't compare them in any kind of way. So when we would go there, we would spend time first by Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and his students, and Rabbi Amram Rabasi. Most of the time was spent there, and then we also went to the Rambam. During that time, I'm not sure if the Shalak Kodesh was that well known over there. In the later years of Rav Rosenfeld's life, he spent quality time going through the Shalak Kodesh. He was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael 300 years ago, approximately, a super giant. Again, all of those are in one complex. And then there's the old cemetery. There's the old cemetery in Tveria where some of the students of the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezritcha Magid who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in the 1700s are buried there. Reb Avram Kalisker, Reb Nachman Horodenka, the Shepetovka, the Karliner, many giants. During Rav Rosenfeld's time, it wasn't so known and it wasn't so popular. Later, years after he passed away, and I met my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, and he was more in touch, like, in terms of that. We went to the old cemetery there, And again, Reb Nachman Horodenko, who was the grandfather of Rabbi Nachman, who was one of the closest students of the Baal Shem Tov, and the other, Reb Avram Kalisko, who Rabbeinu Zal said, Shleimus, I saw only by him incredible great things, we try to go there also. But again, there are people who go all over, everywhere, and there are different paths, different paths. There's also an important point that's made, that sometimes there's an advantage in going to a rabbi who's closer to your time. Going, let's say, to the Maaretz HaMachpelah, where Avraham Yitzchok Yaakov are buried, versus a person going to their own rabbi, let's say the one who taught them for years, or to their rabbi's rabbi, that kind of thing, which is a much closer connection. Sometimes there's an advantage. There are pluses in each one of these. There are certain benefits in each one that are not in the other one. It's an important thing to be aware of. Question in the chat, to elucidate how we don't daven to the Rebbe and how to properly ask the Rebbe to daven for us. This term, to daven to a rabbi, is a mistake. There's no such thing. There is no such thing in authentic Judaism. We can ask a rabbi to be, like the Jews asked Moshe Rabbeinu to be mispalel for them, like Avimelech asked Avram Avinu to be mispalel for them. We can ask a rabbi to use his power to be able to help us come close to Hashem. That's a critical, very, very important point. We're never davening to a rabbi or daven at a kever of a tzaddik. We're never davening to the grave. We're davening to Hashem. We're reciting Tehillim to Hashem, or we're speaking to Hashem and asking Hashem to help us in the merit of the tzaddik who's buried here. Question: some tips that one can work on in order to strengthen our hiskashrus and love for Rabbeinu Zal. The answer is, number one, to learn his svarim, to put in the time and effort. Today we're living at a time, things are very different from what they were even 50 years ago. The svarim are available everywhere, just about everywhere in the world. And if it's not available, you can have it FedEx to you, you can have it UPS, you can have it all accessible in Hebrew, in English, better print and better print, coming out new svarim and commentaries. Until recent years, there were very few commentaries on Likutei Moran. Today, in Hebrew, there are several commentaries that have come out that really clarify and make Likutei Moran much easier for people who wouldn't have been able to learn it years ago on their own to be able to learn it, number one. Today, there are audio shiurim, video shiurim in Hebrew, in English, available, again, all over the world. In just about all of Rabbi Nachman's svarim and Rabbi Nelson's svarim, it's available. One of the ways that a person develops a love and a respect for a tzaddik is through his words, through his teachings. That's what the tzaddik is really about. Another way is connecting to the students of the tzaddik. If a person has an opportunity to daven in a Breslov shul or to go to another shul, there's a major difference. There's something very, very important in terms of connecting to people who are connected to the tzaddik, people who are like-minded, who are both interested in the same type of goal. When I first made Aliyah to Israel, I lived in a neighborhood called Har Nof, Yerushalayim. Har Nof means mountain view. Har Nof is a mountain. It's a tall mountain with many levels. My friends and I lived on the lowest level, and there was a rabbi that lived on the highest level. Rehov HaKablan, it was known at the time. And this rabbi had a weak heart. He wasn't that old, he was maybe in his 60s at the time. And he would walk down about 300 stairs from where he lived, going down 4 or 5 levels on the mountain to come daven with us, with our Breslov Minyan in Har Nof on Shabbos morning. He would walk down and walk back up those 300 stairs to go home. And our shul at the time was in a miklat. It wasn't in a nice building or anything like that. It was in the bomb shelter of our building, which wasn't fixed up really. It had a cement floor, not even top floor tiles, a cement floor, and it looked like a bomb shelter. And yet it was a Breslov minyan with a Breslov style davening with the songs and everything. And he enjoyed, and this was an American, he was Israeli, he didn't speak English at all, didn't know English, and raised in Yerushalayim, And he was one of the dayanim, one of the judges on the Beis Din of Yerushalayim, a very highly respected rabbi. And he would come to daven with us, and I saw he enjoyed it very much. And one time he approached me, and I said, I want to share something very important with you. There was one of the rabbis that lived about 500 years ago, the Ridvaz, who lived around the time of the Arizal, and wrote many responsa in halacha, many tshuvos in halacha, many svarim. And he writes in one of his svarim that if a person has a choice of davening with 5, 6 people or 7 people who they're close to, they have a connection with them, they learn together, they're like minded, etc., etc., or to daven in a shul, a gathering of 100 people, 200 people, but I don't know any of them, they don't know me. They're all religious, they're all Shomer Shabbos religious people, but I have no personal connection at all with them. The Ritvaz writes, better to daven with the 6 or 7 people, which means without a minyan, no Kaddish, no Kedusha, no reading the Torah, than to daven with 100 people. And the Ritvaz wrote this based on certain circumstances. This Rav told me, even though we do not follow that today, halacha, a person would not be permitted to do that. That's not the final opinion. But he said to me, you need to know the incredible value and importance of a Breslov minyan, a minyan of like-minded people where they're getting together, davening, and they share the same respect and love for a particular tzaddik, a particular path in serving Hashem, that there's a big difference. So whenever a person has an opportunity to join that type of minyan, to daven with them, to learn with them, to celebrate with them, that's another important piece of the puzzle. Question that we've had many times, is there only one tzaddik emes? How could it be that there are people who are not really touched by the Breslov ideas, even though they try to study them? The answer is that in the Breslov writings, it's made very clear that there is not only one tzaddik emes. The term tzaddikim amitim is used, plural. There could be many true tzaddikim, but all among the tzaddikim, they are not all the same. The Zohar HaKodesh and the Gemara make a very important point of showing that tzaddikim are not identical. There's levels and levels. The Zohar HaKodesh makes a comparison between Noach, Avram Avinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu, showing the vast, vast difference. And in the Zohar HaKodesh, there's a place where it shows the difference between Yeshaya HaNavi and Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that one of the 24 books of the Torah is called Yeshaya HaNavi, one of the most important prophets of all time. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Yeshaya HaNavi began his speech, and he said, Shimu Shamayim Vazinu Eretz, listen heaven and listen earth. When he said those words, there were a group of angels that heard it, and they said, a human being says Shimu Shamayim? And they picked up these metal rods to smash him. They wanted to destroy him for having the audacity to say Shimu Shamayim. He saw them, and he said, Ki Hashem Diber. I'm not making my own speech. I'm a prophet. I'm going to speak the words of Hashem. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, they left him alone. They didn't beat him up. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ha'azinu Hashamayim Va'adabera. Listen, heaven, and I am going to speak. V'sishma ho'oretz imrefi, and listen, earth, to the words that I'm going to say now. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that when he said those words, everything in creation stopped. Birds that were flying hit the brakes. Fish in the sea stopped swimming. And angels that were in the middle of a mission, the mission was paused until Moshe Rabbeinu finished that speech in Ha'azinu. And the Zohar HaKadosh points out, look at the differences here. Yeshaya HaNavi says, Shamayim, Eretz. Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaShamayim. There isn't one heaven. There are 7 heavens. There are levels and levels in heavens. I want to make it perfectly clear. I'm talking to HaShamayim. I'm talking about the angels in the highest, highest level in heaven. You too, stop everything and listen carefully to what I'm going to say now. Ha'oretz, again, speaking to the highest levels within Oretz to listen. Now he says there's a difference between Shmiya and Ha'azana. When somebody is next to you, close to you, and you want to say, listen, you say L'Ha'azin. When you want to reach out to people who are far away, you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. the Zohar HaKadosh says, Yeshaya HaNavi was closer to earth than he was to heaven. Therefore, he said, Shimu Shamayim Vazinu Eretz. Moshe Rabbeinu is much closer to heaven than he is to earth. Therefore, he says, Hazinu HaShamayim V'Sishma Haaretz. This is just to give us an idea of how important this is. That Klal Yisrael, no two people are the same, and certainly no two tzaddikim are the same. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, we say Moshe V'Aaron B'Kohenav. And yet in last week's parsha, we saw Hashem said to Aaron HaKohen, you're comparing yourself to Moshe Rabbeinu? Are you kidding? Your prophets and his prophets were all the same? And we see that there was a very severe punishment that was given to Miriam HaNeviah because she questioned Moshe Rabbeinu. She questioned Moshe Rabbeinu, something Moshe Rabbeinu had done. So there are multiple tzaddikim amitiim, and there are certain people. A tzaddik is compared to a tree, and the students of the tzaddik are compared to branches of a tree. And we're told that each tzaddik has neshamos that are connected to them, that has souls that are naturally drawn to a particular tzaddik. And that's why certain people are drawn to this tzaddik, certain people are drawn to the other tzaddik, a completely different tzaddik. That's perfectly natural and perfectly normal and okay. However, once again, tzaddikim are not all the same, and there could be a tzaddik who encompasses all the tzaddikim. And this is something Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in Likut Imran, as do many other Sfarim, that there are tzaddikim who many other tzaddikim receive everything they receive through them. Regarding prophecy, the Gemara makes it perfectly clear. Or no prophet received their prophet direct from Hashem. They received it via Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the conduit through which Hashem gave prophecy to all the other prophets. Any other questions?
Quick question I'd like to ask. My great-grandfather was from Ukraine, around Kiev, and I'm lit up by Breslov. Is it possible that they were Breslov Hasidim? No one has an answer. Is it possible?
Sure. There are people that do research and find connections in their past. Today, there are genealogy things where people can go get back and get records going back several generations. And sometimes a person can see to their shock that a grandparent lived in Uman or lived in the city of Breslov. I've come into contact with people like this in Brooklyn today who have found that their ancestors were, or relatives were from the city of Breslov. You know, things like that, definitely. Definite possibility. But all of us go back to Har Sinai, don't forget. All of us originate. We received the Torah together with all 600,000 souls on Har Sinai.
I understand that there's many tzaddikim amitiim, plural, but if there's one tzaddik yesoid, so how do you find it? How do we see that there's some tzaddikim amitiim? Like, you see they're clearly very, very righteous, and they're not connected to Rabbeinu at all.
First of all, a comment. The word amitiim, emes, within emes, there are levels and levels. That's a very, very important point in Yiddishkeit. And that's presented in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, that there's a level of emes. Let's say a person who's learning Chumash gets a certain picture of truth. The Chumash is emes. Then a person gets to a level where they learn Chumash with Rashi, and they discover like a whole new world, things that I had no idea, that in learning Chumash alone, no way I could have known this or seen this. This led to a whole new level of emes. And so on and so forth, as a person advances in Torah, they get to higher, they should be trying to get to higher and higher levels of emes, a higher truth and a higher truth. And so too, when we speak about tzaddik emes, we're talking about someone who is not phony, not a faker phony. But within tzaddik emes, again, there are levels and levels, no question about it. And Rabbeinu Zal writes clearly in the Likut Imran, that there are some people where we see the connection between them and the leading tzaddik. There are other people where even though we don't see the connection at all, indirectly, they are still receiving from the tzaddik. Just like, for example, you have trees. You have trees in a field, and you see the trees blossoming, and you're wondering where they're getting their nourishment from. And somebody shows you there's irrigation. there's a source of water that's a few miles away. And there's underground channels and this and that, whereby water is being led to that tree, and that tree is receiving from that irrigation that's miles away. So too, you could have people, you could have tzaddikim, rabbis, who don't even realize that a major part of their Torah and their connection to Hashem, they're receiving indirectly from another tzaddik. As long, usually this is predicated on the fact that they're not against that tzaddik. If there's a person who's a very religious person and speaks against another tzaddik, that's a dangerous thing. That's a very dangerous thing. With this, we complete this sefer, Hiskashrus LaTzaddik Emes, pretty much. There are tefillos in here, other things. I'm hoping that next week, I was very happy that people sent in a number of topics that they'd like to see learned about. We're going to try Mitz Hashem from now on the Sundays, to address some of these topics which seem very, very important, whether it's Shalom Bayis, educating children, other things that each one of them seems very good. We're going to try to allocate quality time to speaking about these topics, and all based on Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, Mitz Hashem. Wishing everybody a wonderful week. We should be zeche to search for the true tzaddik, for the true tzaddikim, and to do everything we can to come close to them and to draw all the benefits, especially to play our role in bringing about the final geula, the coming of Moshiach, the binyan beis hamikdash, m'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.